right, amen. Thank you for that, Mandy. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Psalm 127. Psalm 127 this morning. Psalm 127. And we'll also be in Psalm 128. So those two psalms there, Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. And when you've found your place, I direct your attention there in Psalm 127 to verse number 1. Psalm 127 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And then Psalm 128 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now this morning you were given, as you came in, you were given a song sheet entitled, "God, Give Us Christian Homes." God, give us Christian homes. I want us to look at this hymn verse by verse as we get into the message, because this, along with these verses we just read, they are the basis for the message this morning on this Mother's Day. Very simply, how to build and how to have a Christian home. The truth of the matter this morning is that for many people all across our world, today is a day that has turned into confusion. Next month, Father's Day, will be much more of the same. It'll be another day of confusion, more and more with those that are quote-unquote transitioning from being a man to a woman, from a woman to a man, and so on and so forth. These days that used, and there's an attack on not necessarily Mother's Day or Father's Day, but there's an attack on you know, growing up, it was a respectful thing to say when talking to somebody that was older than you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. But now, if you happen to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to somebody that looks like a man, looks like a woman, or whatever the case may be, there might be a chance they might angrily accuse you of misgendering them, or whatever the case may be. And never in my life did I think we'd come and live in a society where, trying to be respectful, we would be accused of being disrespectful. But that's the society that we live in. And so I think it would do us good to see from the Word of God how just to build a Christian home and how to maintain a Christian home. But notice there in that song, if you would, verse number 1, "God, give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought, homes crowned with beauty your love has wrought. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes, homes where the Father is true and strong, homes that are free from the blight of wrong, homes that are joyous with love and song. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes." Verse 3, "God, give us Christian homes, homes where the mother is in caring quest, strives to show others your way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes." And finally, verse 4, "God, give us Christian homes, homes where the children are fed to know Christ in his beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes." And folks, that this morning is what I want our prayer to be. God, give us Christian homes. The home today is under attack. The idea, the concept of homes as God originally designed the home of one man, one woman, together for a lifetime, one mom, one dad, and children, that has been considered and is considered outdated today. That's considered old-fashioned. That's considered something that is just passé. And if you believe in that, that's what the home is and ought to be, well, then you're just a dinosaur. You're just old-fashioned. You're just not with the times. Well, I'm happy to say this morning, I don't want to be with the times. I don't want to be considered newfangled and all the rest. I still believe what the Bible says, that a home is husband and wife, children, one man, one woman, together for a lifetime. And that's what constitutes a family according to the Word of God. That's what constitutes a Christian home. You know, years ago I saw a Mother's Day card, and on the front it said, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And when you open the inside of the card reads, "God help you if you ever do that again." How many of your moms maybe ever said that to you when you were growing up? You know, "God help you if you ever do that again." And yeah, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me. But, you know, as kids and as children, children can be challenging. But no doubt this morning they are a precious gift from God. They are a precious gift from the Lord. And this morning as we celebrate Mother's Day today, and this message is just not focusing on moms this morning. The message is for both moms and dads. But maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Well, I'm not just a parent yet." Well, don't check out on me just yet, because this can be for you as well. Because most and many of these principles will apply to each of us, even if we don't have children, even if we don't have yet started a family, or maybe you're in the grandparent stage. These principles can still apply to you as you're helping now your children raise their children. So there's several things we want to see this morning. God, give us Christian homes. Number one, dedicate your home to God. Dedicate your home to God. Psalm 127 and verse 1 again, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." You know, the question you might ask this morning is, well, why must we or why should we dedicate our home to God? Well, simply, God created the family. It's one of three institutions that he ordained. He ordained the family, he ordained the church, he ordained government. Family is one of the institutions that God created, and it's his design, and he knows how it will best function. You know, you think about somebody that maybe designed a house, an architect. That architect probably knows that house better than even the homeowner knows it. Why? They designed it. You go to IKEA, you pick up a piece of furniture, and you can't make heads or tails of the instructions that come with all that furniture. Well, I know somebody that will. The person who hopefully designed that furniture will be able to make heads or tails of it. Why? Because they designed that piece of furniture. And God, since he designed the family, he knows what is best for the family. He knows what is best for your home. He knows better and knows what is best for your family better than some psychologist. He knows better and what is best for your family than some guru that's on TV. He knows what is best and better for your family than Dr. Phil and Oprah and you know, all these other folks that we sometimes put stock into what they say about the family. If you want to know what the family and what the home is supposed to look like, go back to the instruction manual. Go back to the author. Go back to the Lord and dedicate your home to God. You see, the building this morning of a house illustrates the creation of a family. And the point is that it has to be done right. You want to make sure that your home, your house, is built on solid ground, that it's built on a solid foundation. Why? Because if it's not built on a solid foundation, you go to put a house on top of a on top of a crooked or weak foundation, eventually that home, that house, is going to crumble because of a weak foundation. And the same is true this morning when trying to build a Christian home. If you don't build it on the right foundation, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall, and it's going to fall apart. And God this morning must inspire and empower the building efforts. You see, this morning, are you trying to build your home in your own strength? Then it's going to falter. It's going to fail. It's going to crumble. Take heed to the words of this verse here, verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You see, this morning, the Lord must build your home. The Lord must build your house. He must be at the center of everything that is your home. It ought not to be mom. It ought not to be dad. It ought not be the kids. It must not even be the dog or the cat. It has to be God. It has to be the Lord. You see, if the Lord is the center of our home, now listen, that doesn't mean everything's going to be peaches and cream and rainbows and sunshine and all the rest. No, there's still going to be hard days. There's still going to be hard times. There's still going to be times that there's more month at the end of the month than there is paycheck. But if the Lord is at the center, then that's going to make things a whole lot easier than if you tried to go at it and build something without Him. And so we need to dedicate our home to God. Turn your life, including your home, over to the Master Builder. We've been in 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings recently. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He is the wise Master Builder. He knows exactly what it is He's doing this morning. So dedicate your home to God. Number 2 this morning, trust God to provide for your family. Trust God to provide for your family. Psalm 127 and verse number 2. Psalm 127, verse number 2, the Bible says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. You see, that's why I say, if God intended for us to see the sunrise, He'd put it in the middle of the day. You see, because right here, the Bible says it's vain for you to rise up early. So all you people getting up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, stop it. And sleep in till noon. That's Bible right here. Right? That Ellen, that's Bible right here. It's vain to rise. Every time I talk to Walter, I say, how's Ellen doing? Oh, she's sleeping in. She's following the Bible. That's all she's doing. That's all she's doing. It's vain for you to rise up early. But now, see, now to sit up late. See, now here's where I get in trouble. Because I like to stay up late. But to sit up late. To eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. You see, the point of this verse this morning is that God doesn't intend for us to work 24/7. And some people are workaholics. Some people will just go and go and go and go until they can't go anymore. And folks, God never built us that way. He never intended for, and I'm as guilty as much of the next word. A couple weeks ago, the whole reason I couldn't baptize was because my energy was gone. Because Saturday, I was over here for 12 hours. Why I was over here for 12 hours? I don't know why I was over here for 12 hours. I was just over here for 12 hours. Just, I kept seeing things that needed to be done, needed to be straightened, needed to be fixed, needed to be put in place for Sunday and all the rest. And if I'm not careful, I will just go, go, go. But God never intended for us to work 24/7. He intended for us at sometimes we need to come away before we fall away. And we need to just come into that place of rest and relaxation. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. Listen, the Lord, He worked 6 days and He rested, what, that seventh day. So listen, if our God, now I don't believe He needed to rest. He did that as an example for us. But if He decided, okay, I need to take a day of rest, what makes us think that we don't need a day of rest? What makes us think that, you know, if the creator of the universe, the one who is the wise master builder, the one who created us, if He said, I'm going to rest, then we need to rest. We need to take time. And you see, if we're to build our family, we must make them a priority. Now, this is going to sound selfish, and it does not intend to be that way. But my priority in life is not necessarily First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania. My priority is my wife. My priority is my family. Because long after I'm gone, should the Lord tarry his coming, there's going to be another pastor here. There's going to be another someone in this pulpit. And guess what? The same is true of each of us and each of you. Your priority needs to be your family. Because Mandy read me a story last night. There was a Arby's manager. He was found dead in the freezer at work. The very next day after they found him, they had already posted a new job listing for a manager to replace him. So if you think this morning that you are irreplaceable at your job, think again. They'll give you that nice fancy gold watch. They'll give you that going away party if you're lucky. And then the very next day, as soon as you walk out the door, your replacement is walking in the door. And so listen, too many people have lost their family at the expense of work. Too many people have lost their family at the expense of a career. You must make your family a priority. You see, this morning, children need our presence more than they need our presence. More than they need our gifts and our bubbles and our materialistic possessions. You know, perhaps you're here this morning as mom and dad, and maybe this morning you need to refocus just a little bit. You may need to take out your calendar this afternoon, take a hard, long look at your schedule. And are you making your family a priority? You see, no one ever said on his deathbed, "I wish I'd spent more time at the office." At least I don't think anyone's ever said that. But you know what a lot of people do say? "I wish I'd spend more time with my family." You talk to anybody, you know, I've done a lot of funerals since being a pastor. And a lot of people say, "I just wish we had more time together." Take as much time as you possibly can while they're still here. Because life, the Bible tells us, it's as a vapor. It's here for a little while and then vanisheth away. Trust God to provide for your family. Make them a priority. Then number three this morning, recognize children as God's blessing. Recognize children as God's blessing. You're there, Psalm 127. Notice there, if you would, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, you see, this morning, I don't have to tell you that in our society today, not everyone recognizes children as a blessing. Some see children as a burden. And now, we can all admit this morning, raising kids isn't easy. Kids can be challenging. We used to run church vans, pick up kids for church and bring them in. And those kids, they were challenging. All kids are challenging. But, you know, the Bible, and here the Bible doesn't specify how many children you should have. But it does say children are a blessing. You see, this morning, you and your spouse need to seek God together about this issue. And if you do have children, realize from the start that they are a blessing from God. I do want to touch on that one verse there. Verse number 5 there, Psalm 127. You notice that it says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." There are some people that believe in having a quiver full of children. We had missionaries to Fort Hood, Texas, and they had so many children, they needed 2 15-passenger vans to carry them all. I mean, you talk about building your own youth group. I mean, they didn't need to go visiting for kids. They just said, we need another kid for the youth group. Okay, let's pop one out. That's what they were doing. They believed in the quiverful. We have other friends. They pastored in Kansas. They're in Georgia now. They needed one 15-passenger van for all the kids they had because they believed in having a quiverful. And now us men and I have learned we don't necessarily have the patience for children. We don't necessarily have the patience for kids. We like them at church, but praise the Lord, we get to send them home after it's over. And as grandparents, you think the same thing. You love your grandchildren, but praise the Lord, you get to send them home to their parents after a while. But children, they're still a blessing. They're still a blessing from the Lord. Number four, prepare your children to make a difference. Prepare your children to make a difference. Notice there again, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You say this morning, that seems very ambiguous. What's the purpose of arrows? Simple. To shoot them. You see, arrows are designed to fly. They're made to be shot. They're made to fly. You see, remember the children, give your children roots and wings. You see, you raise them up to one day you can launch them out. You have a very finite amount of time with your children. 18 years, if you're blessed, before they move out, they go to college, they find the one, they get married, they start their own family. And if our kids are to make a positive difference, we must make sure that they are aimed properly. We must make sure that they're positioned correctly. You see, in teaching our children to make a difference, as parents, we need to play both offense and defense. Playing defense means you work to distract your child from getting into serious trouble. Teach them what to avoid. Teach them who to avoid. We need to raise our children to play offense, to learn how to change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, too often we get our children bogged down in sports. We get them bogged down in after-school extracurricular activities. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with extracurricular activities. But oftentimes, what goes by the wayside is the spiritual. What goes by the wayside is church and God and the things of God and the Word of God. And listen, there's a very slim chance that they're going to ever go out and be the next Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or Tom Brady or Wayne Gretzky. Or what sport did I miss? There's very rare chance that they're ever going to do that. But you know what is a 100% guarantee? That one day they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to stand before God. And listen, again, nothing wrong with sports, nothing wrong with extracurricular activities, but make sure their spiritual life is taken care of. Train your children to make an impact on the world, to count for something in God's kingdom, in the Lord's kingdom, in His work. Prepare your children to make a difference. Number five this morning, model godliness in your family. Model godliness in your family. Look, if you would, Psalm 128. Psalm 128 in verse number 1. Psalm 128, verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You see, one of the things we need to do in our home is to model before our families that true happiness and true fulfillment in life comes from following Jesus. You see, this morning, billions of people all over our world, they are searching for happiness in all the wrong places. They're searching for happiness in drugs. They're searching for happiness in a pill. They're searching for happiness in a bottle, in alcohol, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, politics, a career, whatever the case may be. But true happiness, it doesn't come from any of those things. True happiness comes from obeying our Creator. True happiness comes, the Gospel of John, the Bible tells us that He came that we might have life more abundantly, that our joy might be fulfilled. You see, our joy is fulfilled not in the things of the world, but our things are fulfilled, and our joy is fulfilled in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as families this morning, we must communicate this truth, not only by our words, but also by our actions. Because if all we do is give it lip service, but don't have any action behind it, then nobody's ever going to follow it. But if we say it and do it, that's what makes the difference. If we're to model godliness, then we must have a close relationship with the Lord this morning. And then number six, and finally this morning, rejoice in God's blessings. Rejoice in God's blessings. Psalm 128, notice there if you would, verses 2 through 6. Verses 2 through 6. The Bible says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." You see, this morning, husbands and fathers, your wife is a fruitful vine, not only in childbearing, but in all areas of home life. Parents, your children are olive shoots, plants that will in time bear their own fruit. You see, if we're careful and we look close enough for all the things that life throws at us, we're a blessed people. We have blessings untold. That's why we sing the song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done." The Lord's blessed us this morning. Sometimes we get lost in the mud and the mire and the muck of the world and the mundane of life, and we miss the blessings of God. But listen, if we look close enough, we'll see blessings all the day long. And with these blessings, we should always live with a proper fear of God. For God's blessings will ultimately rest on those who walk in His way. And so this morning, in light of these two Psalms, we have a choice to make this morning. We can either try to rely on our own feeble resources to build our homes, or we can surrender our false sense of control to a powerful and lovingly heavenly Father, because He gives us this promise. If we dedicate our homes to Him, He will build our families and He will protect our families. And so, yes, this morning may our prayer be this: God, give us Christian homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty your love is wrought. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. Homes where the mother is in caring quest, strives to show others your way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. Homes where the children are fed to know Christ in his beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet. The invitation this morning is simple. It's twofold. Number one, the prayer is, God, give us Christian homes. The only way you can have or begin to have a Christian home is first to know that you yourself are a Christian. You're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that Christ is my Savior, that heaven's my home. I don't know for sure that if I were to leave this church and step into eternity, that heaven's my home, that Christ is my Savior. But I'd like to know that this morning. I'd like to be born again. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Won't have anybody embarrass you. Won't have anybody call you out. But we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Then for you, Christian, this morning, is that your prayer? Lord, give us Christian homes. Mandy begins to play a song of invitation. Maybe you need to come this morning and pray that prayer this morning. God, give us Christian homes. You come this morning, the altar's open.